Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. We got a ton of shows there. Dono Daily every single day at 3 o'clock. My show's starting 9 every Tuesday and Wednesday at 9. Before Floor, an hour before every game. Dolphins postgame, Dolphins pregame. Heat post game, post up 5R. I'm telling you all this because if you were subscribed, you would get all of this to your inbox. So make sure that you do that. Also, check out fivereasonsports.com. Spell that out, F-I-V-E, reasonsports.com for the latest from all of our writers without a paywall. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We got a Heat fan in the house. He was in the house yesterday, suffering through it with all the rest of you. Eric Rubenstein is who you want to reach out to if you've got any kind of an issue, personal injury, medical malpractice, car accident. He is the guy. He's been a Heat fan since 1988. That's right before most of the people around this podcast were even born, not me and Greg. But reach out to him. Again, you can find him at 954-829-ERIC. That's for Eric, of course, 954-829-ERIC, or on Instagram at I Want to Be Your Lawyer. Why does he want to be your lawyer? Because he can do a great job for you. He's an FSU undergrad. Don't hold that against him, but he graduated magna cum laude from law school. He knows this area and he knows how to get you the money that you deserve if you have one of those unfortunate incidents. So reach out to him. He's Eric Rubenstein. Again, 954-829-ERIC. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor plan, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pack with trust, it's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I got Greg Sylvander, I've got Alex Toledo, and what we're going to try to do tonight is not go over the ground that we've been doing for the past few days. So if you want to check out the episode we did last night, Alex and I did from the arena after the loss to Denver, in which we pretty much broke down what's going on with the play of Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson in particular. This is not about their play. This is about money, okay? And the reason that I want to get into this is because whenever players struggle who are making some money, why start to get these tweets, okay, these mentions, with everybody saying, well, they're paying this guy this, so they couldn't get this guy. And what we want to do is break down for you tonight what these contracts actually affect and what they don't. And in particular, we're going to start with the Duncan Robinson deal because that one's gotten a lot of attention. $90 million is a number that everybody's talking about. Even Max Strus, his friend, somebody who's supportive of him, was supportive of him in the press conference, mentioned the $90 million as a way to compliment Duncan to say, well, obviously he knows what he's doing. He made $90 million, he's making $90 million. But the very fact that it's out there in the space, I talked to Gad Cartagena about this on my show this morning on Starting Nine. The fact that everybody knows the number means that this is going to be a narrative, not just now, but for as long as Duncan Robinson is with the Miami Heat. He's going to be pressed up against this contract. It's never going to be about his play. It was the same for Whiteside. It was the same for Waiters. It was the same for Tyler Johnson. It was the same before that for Eddie Jones and Brian Grant, where, like, as much as Eddie and Brian contributed, and Brian did a lot of things he wasn't supposed to have to do when he came here because he was supposed to be the starting power forward next to Zoe, and that never materialized because Zoe got sick. Brian was always compared to his contract instead of what he was doing on the floor. But there are some reasons that contracts matter, and there are some reasons that they don't have any effect on anything else. Okay, so I'm going to go to you with this first, Greg, okay? Did the Duncan Robinson re-signing prevent the Heat from doing anything this offseason?
Absolutely not. Functionally, no. I mean, there are some creative things we can talk about that I think the most avid transaction followers would be able to point out. But for the most part, Duncan Robinson was their own free agent. He really didn't negotiate anywhere else. This was kind of signed, sealed, and delivered as free agency started. As I'm looking back, the Kyle Lowry signing you know, Woj was tweeting about that at 6:38, and not much after that, Duncan Robinson was announced as well as having agreed to the 5-year, $90 million deal with the early termination option on year four. So it's like, this is, I think, what Heat fans need to understand is that Duncan Robinson's $15 million this year, or $16 million, or whatever it accelerates to as the years go on, that was never going to be functional spending money for the team. They had the ability to exceed the salary cap to retain him, but if they had not done that, they wouldn't have had $15 million of spending power, because everyone must remember that they picked up the team option on Goran Dragic, and they never were a cap team, so they never had salary cap space. So this idea that they could have, you know, used the $15 million to go get DeMar DeRozan, for instance, that's just completely, it's not the way that the salary cap works. And also, I just want to ground everyone in this. Like, if you think about the makeup of this team, the idea of Duncan Robinson is the perfect fit for what they were building. So I just think that it's a little bit Monday morning quarterback to start to look at other guys around the league and say they could have made this or that move.
Isn't there some similarity here to what we were talking about last year with Jay Crowder? I mean, it's a different situation because that was about years and all the rest, but people talked about paying Myers Leonard, right? Which obviously did not work out well for a multitude of reasons, but paying Myers Leonard prevented them in some way from re-signing Jay Crowder, right, Alex? And that was just myth. Like there was nothing to that. And in fact, the Myers Leonard contract ended up becoming a vehicle that maybe they didn't use it the best way ultimately, but a vehicle that they could use. So I guess you're in this space, Alex, and we'll get into the mechanics of this and what the Duncan contract can actually be used for. But are you hearing this stuff on Heat? Like, how much do you think we're going to hear this about Duncan's contract and it not be educated, I guess?
I mean, we're going to keep hearing it as long as the slump goes, and obviously on games that they lose, because I feel like this is something that the volume is turned up a whole lot more on losses than wins. And not just dumb it down to that, because the slump is very real, right? It's the numbers are bearing out that this is a weird slump that he's going through. I think I was reading through Nikias Duncan's article on basketballnews.com about Duncan and his slump, and he was breaking down the difference in his shot profile and where he's missing. What I mean, just he had the percentages in all the different types of shots, and the open
Nikias watched all 192 of Duncan Robinson's 3-point shots. He watched all of them to write this column. So Alex,
I believe it was, my God, 31% on standstill threes and 32% on open threes, something like that. I was just looking through all of them right now, but it's like stuff like that. It's just mind numbing. Then you talk about the home and road splits. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say with Duncan at this point, but when you talk about the fans, it's going to be like your mentions are going to be filled with that every night as long as they're losing, right? He's going to be the mascot, especially on nights like last night. He goes 1 of 9. He was the only noticeably bad player last night. That's I think the difference last night, right? He stuck out like a sore thumb, I feel like. Not him all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the mascot for everything wrong with the Heat when they lose.
It's a great way of putting it. Yeah. I mean, I started last night in the Denver game and I wasn't on with you guys post game. It was the first time when I looked at Duncan Robinson in his face, he looked like he had lost confidence. Like you could see it. And I don't want to be body language guy, but like it was visible. And I think even the way the players responded after it shows that they saw some of that it's impacting him. But I just think it's interesting that the idea of trading him is becoming so relevant so soon. One, because it's not even possible until, I don't know that they've even set the date, but it's sometime, what is it, December 15th for him?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, at that point, I mean, you look around the league, what trade are you really even making that makes any kind of sense that would make that fits this roster? I don't know. I just feel like it's like that part of it is where we veer off into the weird territory. And looking in hindsight, I don't know how anyone could have thought that they would have been able to spend $15 million elsewhere.
Well, the other part of it is this thing that Heat fans get. It's not just them. It's fans of all teams. But this idea, our guy's playing poorly, so let's trade him at his lowest value because other teams are going to want the guy now that we don't want, right? Like, they're all going to want him. And it's one thing to talk about a guy like, you know, we talked about Waiters and Whiteside and everything else, and kind of those, we thought those were untradeable contracts. I mean, ultimately, the Whiteside contract got flipped in a trade that ended up getting Jimmy Butler to Miami, not directly, but it was kind of part of the deal. So I think that this idea again, that a Duncan contract now would be able to get you the asset you want. It's one thing to say you can move it eventually. Yes, I believe you could move it eventually, because I do think a guy who's shown that kind of prowess in the league as a shooter is going to have value to someone eventually. Okay. It's not like Whiteside pouting while making $25 million a year. Duncan Robinson is trying. Okay. And he's trying too hard, right? I think that's part of the problem right now. And I think people misinterpreted my tweet last night where I talked about it's the contract, right? Like, about the fact that he shot 48% from three at home 2 years ago to 41% last year, down to 24% this year, right? And so I said, it's got to be the contract. I don't mean it's the contract like he decided to take his ball and go home like Hassan did, okay? He's trying too hard. And I think we talked about this. I don't want to get in the weeds of the basketball part of this because Alex and I did this last night, but I think it started as adjustment, okay, to what's going on in terms of the way he's being defended, the way that he's being used, the different personnel, et cetera. But then when it didn't go well for him early, that combined with him hearing about it, a guy who he's a podcaster too, okay? And could we stop with a podcaster? Podcasting is the easiest thing I do all day, okay? This idea that Duncan Robinson, by doing a podcast every 2 weeks, okay, is somehow... He should be in the gym. It's affecting his shooting. This is what we heard about with Tyler Hero, right? Like when he went to Rolling Loud, okay? And he's on stage, or that he was with Jack Harlow. He should be in the gym, like at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. Like he should be...
Two sides of the same coin, huh?
It's ridiculous, okay? Duncan is not struggling because he's podcasting. I will assure you, I struggle at a lot of things in life. It's not because I'm podcasting, okay? I'm pretty sure that's not my issue. People will tell me what my issues are. That's not it, okay? So let's stop that, okay? And let's stop the fact that he's not trying. He's trying. He's trying too hard. As I said to Alex last night, it's like when you try to sleep, you can't, okay? And I feel like he's forcing it, all right? He's like, shut your eyes harder, and suddenly you're going to sleep. That's not how it works, right? So I want to be clear on that, and I want to go to Alex here, that's not what it is. But what I was trying to say was I do think the contract has become an issue for him now because he wants to live up to it. And so he can't relax, basically. Alex, go.
So I'm reading something here that says Duncan Robinson cannot be traded until March 3rd because he re-signed using bird rights with a 20% raise in salary and he are now over the cap. I don't know if that's accurate.
But see, I read that same thing. Did you see that? Was that on Spotrac? Because I think that's where I saw it. And it started me going down this rabbit hole of what his trade date is. And then I was corrected. And maybe I'm wrong that the December 15th thing I referenced earlier is wrong, because when I saw that, I thought that there could be some element in play where it's past the deadline, right? And then this is such a moot conversation to even go down this road. But let's just back it up to the offseason for one more second before we just shelve that. Because shout out to my boy, Nick Swish, Swisho Mode on Twitter, because his mentions, including yours, Ethan's, somebody came in and said they should have spent that money on DeMar DeRozan. Like I can't belabor the point enough to say that there was just no clear other way. I mean, I guess you could, Alex, what could you sign and trade Duncan to another team who was signing, like, for DeMar DeRozan?
That's the one thing I was thinking
San Antonio.
About. Yeah. That's the one thing I was thinking about, was like, there had to be some sort of convoluted sign and trade. But even then, like, wasn't the whole holdup with DeRozan is that the other teams could pay him more than he could ultimately pay him? So I don't think that,
because they were working on mid-level. Out, but yeah.
To your point, I think.
No, exactly. And that's where I just think that it's getting tunnel vision on the transaction side to start looking around the league and thinking that they could have converted Duncan into anything else. And truthfully, that they even wanted to. I think Eric Spoelstra probably had to do a little bit of pounding his fist on the desk to make sure that they paid him that $90 million because of what he does for the offense. Cause it's not necessarily a Pat Riley staple to give, you know, kind of a specialist that kind of money, right?
He's literally being paid to shoot. So
exactly. It's
Yeah, no, and we know that. And I think that, you know, again, the way that Riley responded to my question about Duncan, you know, saying he wanted to close some games or was hoping to close some games. He wasn't demanding it, but that it was a goal of his. And Riley said, well, if he's on a bad team, he can. And then he kind of backtracked it right away. But it was a sort of a giveaway at the time. And it's stuff that we've heard. But there's other players that Pat wanted on the roster who haven't necessarily performed that, you know, we all know about, that maybe the scouting staff wasn't as in on certain guys as Pat was. And this is what happens. This is a give and take. I mean, you know, you have one guy who's ultimately responsible, but you have others who have input, and that's the kind of structure that they've created. I just wanted to make it clear. And in the second half of the episode, we're going to talk briefly about Bam, but I just wanted to make it clear tonight that, like, Duncan Robinson did not prevent the Heat from doing other things this offseason. It didn't. And ultimately, it could allow the Heat to do things in the future if he resurrects himself from a shooting perspective and his contract is usable and you don't have to use Tyler Hero.
It's going up every year.
Every year, right? Whose contract? Right, exactly. That's one of the ways that reason they structured that way. And you don't have to use Tyler Hero, whose contract was going to be difficult to use and who at this point is outperforming his contract probably as much as any player in the entire NBA, okay? And you wouldn't be able to get a high-priced player with Tyler's contract until he's extended. So I we wanted to make that point because I do think it's correct to criticize. It's okay to criticize performance. It's okay to criticize decision-making from the front office, but it's not okay to get the facts wrong as far as how it affects the cap mechanics. All right, when we come back, we're going to do 5 minutes here on BAM because I think that's useful. Before we do, I want to tell you about Therapist Preferred. Go back to our code 5RSN, get the best premium CBD, the tincture, the sports cream, the gummies, all of that stuff you can get at therapistpreferred.com. The code is 5RSN, 5RSN, 25% off, 25% off. This is the best stuff designed by a physical therapist. Again, we have a lot of people who are using it. Now they swear by it. I do too. It helps you with sleep, helps you with recovery. Go to therapistpreferred.com, therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN. All right, let's talk about Bam now because the max thing, we knew that this was going to come up. And now in this particular case, I don't think you can make an argument that they could have done something else. What, some of it's timing, right, Greg?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say that they could have told Bam Adebayo, we're not giving you the max extension because we want to keep open flexibility, which they've kind of, I don't know that they've done that exact thing before, but they've definitely tried to clear the decks before, you know? So like that wouldn't have been uncharted territory for them to just rely on the flexibility being paramount. And they didn't do that when he requested that, you know, max deal, they gave it to him and there was no, they didn't blink about it at all. And it's a no brainer. Like, this is the other thing. Like, if we start going down the road of is Bam a max player, I just think that then I'm going to have to go and grab a list of all the guys that make what he makes. And we can unpack that because, and we won't do it in 5 minutes, but it's just that that's where, and I know
we've done that, something like that already too.
You're right. In the first half, I mean, last night it was not looking good, but then you see the second half and I call him no ceiling. So it's good that you circle back to him while I'm on so that I can address that. Cause everyone thinks I'm like the ultimate Bam defender. He just don't look right physically. And I just don't think that anything that he's shown would make me regret that max deal or think that they could have done anything differently, particularly knowing that his agent is Giannis's agent and Giannis was super maxed.
Right. I mean, and here's the thing. Even with Hassan Whiteside, who the Heat got criticized roundly for retaining after the fact, at the time that Hassan became a free agent, I remember being there at 12:01, talking to his agent, people around the league, and there were six teams that were ready to offer Hassan the max. How many do you think would have offered Bam the max? 30? Oh. You know, so again, it's okay to criticize. It's okay to nitpick. It's okay to say you want more. It's not okay to say Bam hasn't improved in 3 years. I saw that on Twitter today. Do you remember? Bam was playing behind Hassan. He was considered an energy big, okay? To say he hasn't improved is ridiculous. To say he that his cops
on draft night.
Right, exactly. Okay, right. So, right, Clint Capella, right? Wasn't that the highest upside for Bam Adebayo, right? And like Clint has done good work the past year in Atlanta, but I believe that Bam Adebayo has passed Clint Capella. Okay, so again, okay to criticize, but the money thing
Clint
too.
Capella or Kevin Garnett?
Right. Well, the only thing that affects the money here, okay, is that this is an expensive team. And Bam is part of an expensive team that is going to get more expensive when Tyler Hero gets re-signed. And you're paying Lowry, you're paying Jimmy, you're paying Bam, okay? And you're also got luxury tax concerns, and you don't want to go into it this year. And so you have a roster that we saw last night, how thin it is when we're out two of your top players, right? You've also got, and let's just acknowledge it, we've talked about this, the owner is involved in the cruise business. The stock's still down 70% from where it was pre-COVID. Okay. It bounced and it bounced back down with the Omicron and everything else that's happened here over the past week. It's now down under $18. It was, I think, 70 at one point. All of these are factors in terms of being able to go out and maybe spend on others going forward. But I'm never going to question the decision to A, pay Bam the max, or B, give him the money when he wanted the money. I'm sorry. That's it. We can now say we expect more from Bam. That's fine, guys. But to say that he wasn't worth the contract at the time, I think is ludicrous. Does anybody want to close on this?
I'll just say this. Fans should expect for no firm declarations to be made about this team until the playoffs. And unfortunately, like I hate to say that on November 30th at 8:28 PM Eastern, but like we got a long way to go and it's a marathon and the organization looks at it that way. So like they're not panicking in any way and they're a game out of the one seed in the East. So I just think there's a little bit of overreaction if you really take a step back from it. And so have we wagged our finger at the fans enough on this episode, Ethan?
I think we have. And look, I wagged my fingers at the Heat for 2 years over the Deion contract, the Tyler contract, the James Johnson contract.
I got real annoyed with you at that
time. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was out there. I didn't wag it about the Hassan contract because that one, I understood the circumstances at the time. It was a bet on the organization to be able to get him to care after he got the money. And it was a bet that they lost, essentially. That's what happened. But the others, you don't pay 4 years at that kind of money for average to slightly above average players when you can manufacture your own at the minimum. Okay. You just don't do it. And so I didn't agree with what they did at the time. I didn't like how it played out, but this time, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be one of those leading the parade against the Duncan or particularly the Bam contracts. All right, that's it. Alex is tired of talking about Duncan anyway. Our friend Eric Rubenstein, check him out. Again, I want to be your lawyer on Instagram and 954-829. Eric is the phone number. And of course, Therapist Preferred, use the code 5RSN. Manscaped.com, use the code 5RSN as well. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.